Today is Saturday, the 11th of November 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 107th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And to our great fortune, we have Viral Pante, Homagama Dhammakusala Thero, joining us into today's session from Saravane Forest Monastery in Sri Lanka. And I would like to welcome Pante with great respect on behalf of all of us who are joining through Zoom and the Facebook live stream. Furthermore, I would also like to welcome all of you who are joining through the Zoom session as well as the Facebook live stream. Our program will commence with in-session practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness for beginners, and then we will go on to the question and answer session where we present all the written reports and also some verbal questions you may have dependent on time, and then we will wrap up the program. So to commence things, I would like to invite Venerable Bhante to begin with the in-session practice. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everyone. So today we'll do a small activity related to mindfulness, and we can take some time, probably like 10-15 minutes, to do this activity. For this, it would be great if you can turn on video and participate more actively. Make sure that you are seated comfortably. Once you are seated and ready to start the activity, we can do. Okay, so this is what we are going to do. We are going to experiment something, and we are going to bring our attention to the present moment and see what we feel when we do that experiment. Okay, so in order to start, just keep your eyes open, just bring your attention to the body and notice what you feel. You have your eyes open, just notice what you feel in your body. Maybe you can rub your palms together and just notice how it feels. If you rub them at a fast, rapid speed, then you might feel the heat generated. These are great things to bring your attention to the present moment. Small, small activities. Then you can press your feet against the ground and notice how it feels. The pressure changes at your feet. Now, when we do these things, we are working with our gross body, right? We feel the touch, we feel the physical appearance of this body. And that's one way to be mindful of the present moment, of the body that is functioning. Now, gently close your eyes. When you close your eyes, you can no more see your body. But if you pay attention, you can see a perception of it. You feel a perception of the body. You feel bodily sensations. So in a way, you are experiencing a mind-made body. Just bring your attention to it. Notice the sections that you feel. Notice the sections with sensations. And there may be sections, parts without any sensations. Now we are experiencing the perception of the body or a mind-made body. Gradually bring your attention to the breathing. Notice how the in-breath is there. Notice how the out-breath is there. Bring your attention to the prominent point that you feel your breath. Maybe it's near your nostrils. Maybe it's in your stomach. Try to notice few breath cycles. Breath goes in, comes out after a while. Again, it goes in, comes out. Now the breath you are feeling, that too is a part of that perception of our body. Or we are experiencing this imagined or mind-made body. Now gradually bring your attention to the gap in between in-breath and the out-breath. After the in-breath, there's a small gap. After the out-breath, there's a small gap. Maybe the gap after out-breath is longer. Just try to bring your attention there. Just try to experience this gap for a few seconds. When you experience this gap, you are experiencing the formless self. It doesn't have a form, but still you experience it. If you be attentive of the entire body, you may feel this formless is everywhere. Among the sensations, in between the sensations, this formless appears. Just be mindful of the whole body and notice the feeling of formless in between. Time to time, your attention goes to the perception of the body, the mind made. Time to time, your attention goes to the formless. Usually the sensations of mind-made body grab our attention easily. It's difficult to bring our attention to the formless. Now gently open your eyes. While opening, notice how the gross body or the gross self appears. You can again rub your palms and see. And you feel the rough sensations again. Okay, so that's our time for today's activity. I just wanted to give you some idea regarding something that we want to discuss today. So with that, Namantha, you can take your turn.
Thank you very much, Mandi, and much best to for the excellent guidance through the in-session practice. It was wonderful to be so calm during that time period. Now, next, we are moving on to the talk on mindfulness. So on behalf of all of us, I would like to invite Bante to commence the talk scheduled for today. Over to Banthi again, much merits.
Okay, everyone. So this is a continuation topic from last time, and we are discussing about the illusion of time. That's our topic for today, and it's a continuation from the last time, right? So today I thought of taking a different approach to the topic, and maybe we can take some time to discuss it and see how we can relate it into our daily practice. Now, when we function, usually starting from a young age, you feel your body, you exercise your body, right? So this is what we are doing. Usually when you are young, you are beautifying your body. You want it to be in a certain way. You exercise it. You want to make it healthy, right? So this way, we are usually attached to our body. Not just a little bit. We are very much attached to our body. The body represents our existence. When somebody asks you who you are, you might show your body. This is me. You will point to it. Right? So the body represents a major part of our existence. The body appears, the body is there, and we are so much connected to our body. We are so much attached to our body. And with that attachment, we usually consider this body to be ourselves. That's what we think. That's how we see it. This gross body or this gross self, we think this is me. We think this is mine. We think this is myself. So this part, everybody knows. This part, everybody is aware of. You go and ask somebody and they will show a point to their body and tell, this is me. This represents me. This is how I dress. This is how I behave. So that way, in a way, you are very much attached to your body and you show it as yourself. You show it as your appearance in this world. Right? So this everybody knows, even the worldly is aware of this. But the meditator, the mindful practitioner, they are advised to be mindful during their daily activities. Let's say functioning, doing various things, eating, drinking, various other activities they are doing, walking. Right? So while doing these gross activities with your gross body, you are aware of it. You bring your attention to it. You notice that I am moving. I am going forward. I am turning. I am coming back. I am watching something in front of me. Then I am turning my head to see the things in the sides. I am wearing my clothes. I button them. I wear a bag, right? So this way, you are advised to be mindful of this gross body. That's a very good practice. That practice we are recommending, right? While doing your daily activities, you try to be mindful of your presence. You try to be mindful how the body moves, how the body works. So in a way, you are bringing your attention to this gross self. You are noticing how it is functioning, how it is working, how it is behaving. That very observation you are doing. All right? So that is something the practitioner would do. Usually worldly people, of course, they are identified with their body. Of course, they take it as their representation in this world. They are not very much mindful of it, right? usually they are lost in their mind, they are in their head. They think about various things while doing these activities. But the meditator, they are advised to bring their attention to the gross self. And they are advised to notice how it is functioning. Right? When you use your hands, you feel like somebody is moving these limbs. When you use your legs, you feel like somebody is moving these limbs. Right? That's how we feel it. But if we are really paying attention, you can see this is the body in action, the gross self or the gross body in action. The body is moving, the body is vibrating, the body is having these jerks in it, right? So this is how the body functions. As long as you are having a body, you'll have these movements in your body. Some are intentional, some of the movements are unintentional. Right? So this way, the meditator is advised to bring their attention to the gross self. And while functioning, while doing daily activities, they are advised to notice how they are functioning. They are advised to be present of their body and be present of the movements of this body. Right? So that's a starting point for a meditator. Then, let's say while doing a sitting session, you sit in a comfortable manner. And once you are comfortable in your posture, you are advised to close your eyes gently. As soon as you close your eyes, then the mind-made self or the perception of this body appears. Now it is no longer having those gross self or the gross movements. Instead, you simply notice that certain sensations are there. Some sensations, the collective, you identify it as your limbs. Some sensations, the collective, you identify it as your torso. Some sensations, you identify them as your head. But when you really bring your attention to them, you realize they are just a bunch of sensations. They are just collection of sensations. Right? So that observation is there. And when they bring their attention to the breathing or the movement of their stomach, that too is part of that mind-made self or the perception of this body. Right? So that is another experience that we are having. Now it no longer has the gross movements. Now it no longer has the gross appearance. Instead, now a perceived body is there, a mind-made body is there. Now the meditator, the practitioner, they are advised to bring their attention to this mind-made body. Notice how the breath is happening. Notice the bodily sensations. Notice the movement of your stomach. Right? So that way, you try to be mindful. You try to bring your attention to the breath. You try to bring your attention to the stomach. And try to keep your attention there. Notice the in-breath, notice the out-breath. Continue that observation for few breath cycles. So this way, we continue our mindfulness, we continue our practice. And when you do this, initially our attention goes to the things we feel. If we feel the breath, our attention goes to that. If we feel the stomach, our attention goes to that. That's why most of the practitioners, especially beginners, they come and complain that they can't feel their breath. They say, I can't feel my breath. Where should I bring my attention to? So you can tell if you feel your belly or the chest, the movement of it according to the breath, then you can bring your attention there. If you don't feel it, then you can just be mindful of the posture, the collective, the entire body, the seated perceived body or the seated mind-made body. You can bring your attention there. So this way, we are either selecting a single sensation out of the mind-made or the perceived body, or we are just simply being aware of the collective as the posture, seated posture, the sensations, that's a collective of this mind-made or the gross self. Sorry, the mind-made or the perceived self, right? So this way we keep our attention, we try to observe it again and again. So initially we are bringing our attention to the sensations that are there, and we are trying to keep our attention there, right? And naturally, when you practice for some time, you realize your attention slips to the formless. It is difficult to intentionally bring your attention because it bounces back, right? Some people, they get headaches trying this. Why? Because the formless, it doesn't appear, it doesn't give any sensations. So if you intentionally try to keep your attention like we did in the activity, if you try it for a long period, you might feel that it's giving you headaches. Why? The mind is usually not going to the formless. The mind is not, usually you can't keep your mind there. It bounces back. It bounces back again and again to the sensations that are there. The mind-made body, it bounces back to it, right? But when you observe the breath, or when you observe the movement of your belly, or when you observe the perceived body, naturally your attention slips into the formless. This happens to the meditator when you continue with your practice for a while. This naturally happens. What we are advising is this natural process of moving your attention from the perceived body to the formless, right? So maybe like 12 years old, a young child was sharing his experience and telling, I noticed my in-breath, I noticed my out-breath, I kept my attention there for few breath cycles. And when that happens, after a while, I start to notice that there is a gap in between the in-breath and the out-breath. When I continued with my observation, I could feel the gap is increasing. The breath or the sensations are reducing. At the end, the breath disappears and only the formless was there, only the gap was there. So this is a 12-year-old child sharing his meditation experience. So you can see, naturally, your mind slips into the formless. You have to allow that natural process. Don't try to force it. Instead, when you do it for a while, you start to feel the formless part of yourself. We identify it as formless self. You had a gross self, the physical body and its movements. Then once you close your eyes and bring your attention to the breath, you feel this perceived body or the mind made. Then as the third part, you are experiencing this formless self, right? So this is a natural experience if you are mindful. This is a natural experience if you pay attention to yourself. Now what happens usually is that we try to create a story out of this experience. The gross self is there. The mind made is there. The formless is there. And we are connecting these dots and we are trying to create a story out of it. Now the time factor comes into play, right? Our topic, it comes into play. Now with this time factor, you are saying that this is gross me. This is the mind-made me. This is the formless me. That way, you are experiencing it. That way, you are expressing it. Right? The time factor comes into the play. And due to our memory, we connect these dots. We have a memory of our gross self. We have a memory of our mind-made self. We have a memory of that formless self. So we are connecting these dots and we are creating a story. That's what you tell other people, right? When you catch up with an old friend, what happens? You are telling them stories. This is what happened. This person came and told me this, blah, blah, blah. You will tell a whole story. Now, with the time, the most valuable ingredient needed to create this story. You are connecting these dots and creating a story. But for a meditator, the advice is to just embrace the current form. Let it be the gross self. Just embrace it. Just witness it. Mindfully embrace, mindfully witness. Let it be the mind-made self, just witness it, just embrace it. Just be mindful of that present state. Now you are experiencing the mind-made self. So when you experience the formless, just be mindful, just witness, embrace that formless self. So that way you are encouraged not to connect these dots, but to experience them when they appear. You are encouraged to embrace, witness them when they appear. Without connecting these dots, you are trying to just experience, just live in the moment. That's the very idea. Because if you connect these dots, then a story is created. The time comes into play. Then you think about an existence. You will tell, I was little, maybe like 20, 30 years ago. And this is how I was that time. You will show them photos. Then I got my degree. This is the photo of the graduation. Then I got married. This is me with my bride. So this way, you are creating a story. You are connecting these dots. You have an existence against time. Right? So our memory plays a big role in this. Time and the memory. Due to our memory, we'll say, okay, 5 years ago, this is what happened. This is how I was. 10 years ago, this happened. That way, we are creating a whole story. But from the point of view of meditation, we are experiencing each and every moment, and you are advised not to connect these dots. Just let them be dots. Just let them be that moment. Just witness it, just embrace it. Then you can move on to the next moment. Now imagine during today's activity, you are experiencing that mind-made or the formless body. And gradually when you open your eyes, you came back to the gross self. Your experience changed. Right? So that way, you are advised not to connect these dots, but to embrace them, but to witness them at that time. At a particular time, you might feel the gross self. At a particular time, you might feel the mind-made. At a particular time, you might feel the formless. Just witness that experience, but try not to connect these dots. So for a beginner, maybe a newcomer, it's difficult for them to not connect these dots, right? Especially when we advise writing meditation reports, their mind is creating this story while walking. Their mind is creating this story while sitting. Okay, I have to report this. This is what happened. This is how the breath was initially. After a while, it changed into this. So that way, even while meditation, you can feel that your mind is creating the story. Your mind is connecting the dots, right? So for a beginner, it's natural that these dots are connected. But when you mature into the meditation, when you continue with your practice for a few hours, few weeks, few months, then you realize naturally the inclination towards connecting these dots, it is reducing. Yet you are experiencing, yet you are witnessing, but there is no inclination towards creating a whole story out of it. You might still report your meditation experience, but it'll have some gaps in between. Now, a few weeks ago, I heard this very nice meditation report. And in that report, there was no flow. In that report, there was no story. Instead, just pinpointing certain sensations, the moments were pinpointed. There were a few moments were pinpointed, but not a story. Let's say that person was saying, I could feel the in-breath and the body aches, sound of a monkey, thought about past. So this way that person is experiencing things as they are, but these things, they don't create a story out of it. So that's our true experience. We witness them, we embrace them. Next moment, something else. Maybe this moment you are experiencing a sound. Next moment you will be experiencing a thought. This moment you experience your breath. Next moment you'll experience maybe an ache in your back. So this way, when we continue our meditation, naturally, when you mature into meditation, naturally the story will go away. Certain gaps are created. And most of the meditation reports, they are not properly organized. And so they have certain information here and there, but there is no real flow in it. So that's a good progress in the meditation. It's not happening intentionally, but naturally you can feel how the story is breaking up, how the gaps are created, how they are giving certain information here and there about their experience or what they have witnessed. So this is the real experience. Without time, without the illusion of time, we are experiencing things. That experience is precious. That experience, you can embrace it. That experience, you can witness it fully. But try not to create a story. Although I say try not to, you can't do it intentionally. When you meditate, naturally the story disappears. Naturally, your mind will give up creating a story out of this. Why? Because you are experiencing the reality. You start to feel that this is how it is. Without the time factor, if you observe, you have a certain experience at the present moment. Next moment, you'll have something else. It is the ignorance that creates this story. The darkness that creates this story. And you'll say, 30 years back, I did this. That's the ignorance talking. Out of ignorance, we are creating a story. Out of ignorance, we are connecting these dots. So the mindfulness, we identify it as light. Against the darkness of ignorance, we are using the light of mindfulness. When you be conscious of a single step, when you be conscious of a single breath, that's a tiny beam of light flashed into that darkness. It's a tiny beam, but still it's worth. You are noticing a single breath. You are noticing a conscious step. So that way we are using this power of mindfulness or the light of mindfulness against the ignorance, the darkness. And when your light shines more and more, you start to feel the reality. Your mind naturally give up creating a story out of it. You tend to forget and forgive easily. Right? I said forget and forgive. That's the proper sequence. As long as you remember, it's so difficult to forgive. Again and again, the mind creates thinking. This person, this did, he said these particular words. I'm still mad. I'm still angry. You might say, okay, I'll forgive you. But true forgiveness is not there. But if your mind is not creating this story, if it doesn't attach itself or identify itself with this story, then what happens? That's the true forgiveness. You can't even remember what happened. So what's there to forgive? Right? And I found this quote from Jesus. He said, love your enemies. But if you have enemies, can you love them? That's the issue, right? So if a person is not having an enemies, if no enemies are there, if no story is created out of these incidents, if your mind doesn't attach or if your mind doesn't identify with these situations, then you will have no enemies. That way you can truly love your enemies because there are none. Right? Then how about the friends? You won't have any friends either. That's the issue, right? That's the issue. Most of you wouldn't like it. When you let go of the enemies, you have to let go of the friends as well. So this is the meditator. This is the true experience that when we practice, we become closer and closer to the reality. The light of mindfulness shined against the darkness of ignorance. Right, when you shed more light into it, you start to see the reality. So to end today's talk, Buddha is giving this very nice analogy of this experience. Now remember, we were talking about or we were experiencing the gross self. Then we were experiencing the perceived or the mind-made self. Then we were experiencing the formless. So Buddha is saying, now you get milk from a cow and you process it. After a while, you get butter and you process it. After a while, you get ghee, right? Now, is it correct to ask where is ghee when you have this milk? is it correct to ask where is butter when you have this milk? Right? So he is comparing this. Our issue with the time. The story is created. If the butter is created out of milk, we imagine or we presume that there should be butter somewhere hidden in the milk. If the ghee is created out of butter, then we imagine that there should be ghee somewhere hidden in butter. Right? So we are creating a story. We are connecting the dots. And it's a struggle against the time. So he is giving this analogy to the self that we are experiencing. At a time you experience your gross self. At a time you experience this perceived or mind-made self. At a time you experience this formless. Right? When you experience formless, don't ask where is the mind-made or the where is the gross self. When you experience mind-made, don't ask where is the formless or where is the gross self. When you experience the gross self, don't ask where is the other two are. Right? So just witness what's there. That's all. That's all you have at the moment. Just witness it. Just embrace it. Don't try to connect these dots against time. That's the illusion. That's the ignorance that's talking. Right, so when we are embracing the present moment, when we are witnessing the present moment, that's the way to let go of this illusion. You are shedding a tiny beam of light into this darkness, into the ignorance. And that tiny beam, although it's a tiny beam, if you continue with it, if you continue for a few months, few years, then you realize the light is becoming stronger and stronger, and you start to see the reality as itself. So that's the idea I want to give today. And thank you for listening. Hope you can practice and start to experience this for yourself.
Much thanks to Banti for that excellent talk and also the insights. Next, we have the question and answer session coming up, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence the session. I would share the screen for the introduction to beginners.
Thank you, Namantha. Namasarai Bante. So before we begin our question and answers and the reports, we will go through, as usual, the videos that Risa Arvanya has produced in order to help us start with our meditation process. So the two videos we have links for here, which we will be sharing on the chat section, will be helpful to watch if you are a beginner or if someone wants a little refresher. It's about mindful walking and mindful sitting. Once you watch them, set aside some time to start practicing. And that will give you guidance on how you start your practice, and then slowly, with any amount of time, start building up your number of hours or number of minutes that you can meditate. Once you experience it for yourself, we would like to hear from you in a report what your experiences are with mindful walking and sitting. And once you send it to us, we will then present it to Bante for his feedback. We can send the experiences to us via the Google form, which the link will be on the chat section, or the email, which is beginnersnb@gmail.com. You can reach us via any of these methods, and we will present it to Bante for his feedback. All right, thank you. I will then move on to the reports today. We have received two reports today, both of them via Google, so email. We have no reports received via Google form today. The first report, mindful sitting, sat on the cushion in a comfortable position, seated body was noted by pressure points, weight of arms and hands. Calves and feet in contact with the floor. When breath appeared, it was prominent, colder in breath, followed by warmer out breath. Some breaths were shorter than the last one and some were longer. Calmness experienced, breath became subtle and there was a rhythm to it. Thoughts would appear and disappear as if they were in the background. Boredom noted, wondered if it was better to drink water. Noticed prominent breath again, calmness experienced, followed by boredom again. Pins and needles sensation rapidly arose and passed away. Sat for 50 minutes, realized that the urge to drink water was noted but not acted upon. Mindfulness during the day. This is an experience from a couple of weeks ago when I went to the theater to see a play with a family member. The person in front was tall and blocking almost all the view in the stage. The irritation and annoyance noted in the mind, which had changed to humor by the end of the first scene. He kept moving from side to side to get a good view of the stage because the person in front of him, front row of him, was also another tall person doing the same thing. Then it occurred to me that I was doing the same thing. When the main character moved to the left corner of the stage, the two people in two consecutive front rows would move to left, which meant I need to move to the right to get a glimpse. Couldn't laugh out loud as there was the theater in the middle of the, this was in the theater at the middle of the play. But it was hilarious as there was another play at work with no rehearsals. There was three people in the audience moving left and right in their seats like puppets moved by strings. With this awareness, wondered what would happen if I didn't move, just because these two people did. So sat calmly in one position through the second scene and had the option of choosing whether to watch the puppetry of the audience or the play further ahead on the stage. A calmness experience with letting things be instead of wanting anything to be different. When I did occasionally move to get a better view during the rest of the play, I think it was because of a lot of money was spent on the tickets. However, by the end of the end, now the mind was at peace and had lost interest in both play and the people in front who were still moving constantly. It's hard to explain the scene of freedom felt in the mind by accepting what was happening out there and internal conflict. Bante, look forward to your feedback. Much merit to the organizers. That's the end of report, Bante.
Okay, thanks for sharing that, right? Now I was thinking like two plays are there, right? But you also mentioned it towards the end of your report. Now there's this main play and there's this play of, you know, people moving here and there to catch a glimpse, right? So this is how it is. Usually, if you don't know the practice, what happens is that you only give your attention to the main play, right? So if somebody is blocking it, you get mad. You remember the money you spent on tickets. Right. So that's why people get into fights. That's why they can even kill somebody else due to such incidents, because their attention is over there. They give their attention to the main play. They bring their attention to it. They are fixed. Their eyes are fixed on it. Right. So if somebody is blocking it, if something is blocking it, they are going to fight that thing, right? So if the plays are played in darkness, the darkness of ignorance, right? When you go into a theater, the light is switched off. The darkness is there. Out of the darkness, we see this movie. We see this play. That's how the world is, right? So you need the darkness to enjoy it. You need the darkness to get angry. You need the darkness to, you know, fight. You need the darkness to kill other people. That's what's happening in the world. Now, meditator, they have a different viewpoint. And they start to see the background of it. You know, they start to see how there's different place. More people in the audience, they start to notice. The audience is doing this movement, another play in action, right? So that difference in viewpoint, that's the very practice. Instead of bringing our attention to the main play, we are bringing our attention to something else. Maybe something happening in the audience. When somebody comes and blames you, instead of giving your attention to that person, just bring your attention to yourself and see how you are reacting to this blame. When somebody is accusing you, your attention naturally goes to that person. But if you turn your attention inwards, then you start to see a different play there. So this is the very practice. Instead of bringing our attention to the thing that we are supposed to bring our attention to, we are bringing our attention to something else. Instead of giving our attention to the person who is blaming, we are bringing our attention to the reaction of it, the internal reaction, right? When you do it, you can really enjoy this play. Otherwise, hatred will be there. Otherwise, anger will be there. Otherwise, stress, anxiety will be there. But if you have this different viewpoint, then you start to see the background of things. You start to see your inner reaction to it. You start to find out the reasoning for that inner reaction. The reasoning is that I spent so much money on the tickets. The reasoning is that people shouldn't be blocking my view. So this is the very attitude of a meditator. We are training ourselves not to just observe the main play, but instead observe the things that surrounds it. Not to just give attention to the person who is accusing, instead give attention to your internal reaction to it. That very observation is the practice. That's the meditator's attitude. That's the mindful attitude. Instead of bringing our attention to the thing we are supposed to bring our attention to, we are looking the other way. Now in magic, there's a thing called misdirection. They use this to trick you. What is misdirection? If a trick is happening in this, let's say, left side, misdirection happens in the right side. You get a spark or something, or loud noise or something, so your attention would go to the right side, while the pigeon appears from the left side. Misdirection, right? You are supposed to give your attention to the right side, where a fire is appearing, where a loud noise is appearing. While you are giving attention to that, a magic trick is done in the left side. So this is the exact thing that happens in our mind. So the meditator, instead of giving the attention to the right side, that's where they are supposed to give their attention, they give their attention to the left side. Instead of paying attention to the person who is accusing, you pay attention to yourself. And no more magic will be there. Why? Because you know what happened. You see the trick, right? That's what the advertising people, they know it very well. That's what they do. Politicians, they know it very well. Now in Sri Lanka, different dramas played. Why? Because you can't allow people to suffer this situation. If you allow them to suffer, you can't last too much. The politicians can't last too much. Right? So they are creating different drama. These days, cricket drama. Right? Few months ago, there was another drama. So what happens? Misdirection. Your attention is taken out of the real issues. You have given some bait, so you'll stay with it. So that's what happens. Advertising, that is the exact thing they are doing. Politicians, they know what to do. Right? So the meditator, they have this different viewpoint. Instead of bringing their attention to the thing that they are supposed to bring their attention, they are looking the other way. They are bringing their attention to the other direction. And you see how the magic is done. So this is the exact observation that you are experiencing. You see the play. Everybody is supposed to give their attention to the play. But instead you are looking into the darkness. Instead you are seeing the things in the darkness. There is another play there. Puppets moving left to right. Right? So that's the very observation of the meditator. And in your report, you mentioned what happens when you do it for some time. This is what happens to the meditators, right? When you continue this observation for some time, they get sick of both things. They get sick of the main play. They get sick of the play that's happening in the darkness, right? So that's the real peace. That's how the real peace appears. Your attention doesn't go off either to the main play or the play that is happening in the darkness. You get sick of both. That's called peace. That's called enlightenment. You are no longer attached to these worldly things. Both are worldly. The thing that is happening in the main stage or the main play, that too is worldly. The thing in the background is too worldly. But you have to first observe the thing in the background. That very observation will lead you into this conclusion that you made. By the end of 1.5 hours, you are sick and tired of both. That very attitude will create peace in your mind. That very attitude you explained as boredom in the first part of your meditation report. The boredom happens when this happens. The boredom appears when this happens, right? The boredom appears when you get sick of both things. So you have to consider the boredom is a very good sign. Why? Because when you get sick of both these things, the boredom appears. We start to appreciate the boredom. We learn new techniques to appreciate the boredom. Why? Because this is where the peace lies. If you are interested either in the main play or the play in the darkness, still you are caught. But when you observe this, when you continue this observation, naturally, you'll get sick of both. That very sickness, getting sick of both, it appears as a boredom. That's why when you meditate into the meditation, 30, 40 minutes, the boredom appears. The boredom hits you. We don't like this boredom. We feel like doing something against it. We feel like doing something to get rid of it. But the meditator, they start to appreciate the boredom. The boredom appears because you are sick and tired of these things. When you are sick and tired of these things, it's natural that the boredom appears. And the peace is right there behind this boredom. Right? So thank you for sharing. Very insightful. And just continue this way and you'll realize what this boredom is all about.
Thank you, Bhante, for your feedback. And thank you to the report writer, as most of us in some way or the other have a main play and a secondary play going on in our lives, in a metaphorical way at least. And one or the other usually takes prominence and we fight with it. So thank you very much for that. The second report, I'll start on that, walking meditation. Walked on tiled floor, watching feet being placed, moved and lifted. Noted warmth, hardness, cooler areas, clothes on ankle, observed thoughts which were disturbing to begin with, settling as time passed. walked 45 minutes, mind calmer than at the start, and despite occasional interruptions, mind naturally returned to feet. Sitting meditation. Sat on cushion, noting position of body, legs, crossed hands on lap, back straight, warmer areas on feet touching floor, and cooler areas breathing in and out. Breath disappeared, areas of face not present, and large expanding space perceived in its place. After a period, a deep breath appeared spontaneously and noted chest expanding, contracting, and disappearing. This happened another time too. Parts of body appeared and disappeared. This went on, and mind was calm at times, felt an empty space with no thoughts for short periods. Meditated for 1 hour. Daily mindfulness. Watching changing postures when walking, lying down, and sitting on a few occasions. Constant sense of place in peace in mind despite busy week. Noting change in temperature and resulting dislike in mind when cold, and pleasure when warmer. Noted hardness when holding broom and softness of clothes. Observing changes in mood in self and others. More patient this week, aware that too will change. Much merit to Banthe and organizers. That's the end of report, Banthe.
Okay. That report we can very much relate to today's discussion. Right now, in your report, let's start with the daily one. Your mind changing postures. When the body is standing, you are mindful. When the limbs are extended, you are mindful. When you are sitting, you are mindful. When you are lying down, you are mindful. When you are doing various things, holding a broom, various activities, you are mindful. So this is the gross self that we are talking about. Right, so the meditator, they are advised to be mindful of this gross self. Instead of getting lost in their head, lost in their mind, just continue this observation. And when you continue it, you feel that this is how the things are done. This is how the body moves. This is how the arms or the limbs are extended. So that very observation is very much valuable. Then when it comes to your sitting part, let's say you stop these things, you stop these activities, you sit on a cushion comfortably, then you close your eyes. Once you close your eyes, your attention naturally goes to the breath or the body, right? So that's the mind-made part, the perceived body. You feel the posture, you feel the body, you feel the breath. Right, so that very observation was there in your report. And when you do it for some time, when you keep your attention with the breath, when you keep your attention with the body, what happens is that breath disappears. A space appears. Parts of your pace disappears. Emptiness appears. So that's the formulas that we were talking about. Again and again, you are moved from the formless to the perceived body. Again, you are moved into the formless. This changing or this cycle is happening again and again. Right? So that very observation we are doing. Gross self, you are paying attention, observing. Mind made, you are paying attention, observing. The formless, you are paying attention, observing. Usually what happens is that, let's say the yogis before Buddha, they were attached to this formless. They thought that this is the soul. This is the God. This is our real existence. Right? So they were attached to this formless. They thought that this is where the peace lies. That's why the meditators, most of the people, they talk very appreciatively about this emptiness. They think everything vanished. So I was at peace for some time. Then my meditation was interrupted by the breath again. So that's usual for a meditator. But we have to advise them, don't get attached to this formless. if you get attached to this formless, still you are caught. Maybe you are even more caught than the people who are caught in gross self. Right? So the when a fish swallows a hook, it gets stuck in its mouth. But when a frog swallows a hook, it goes into its stomach. The frog is swallowing it the entire way. It goes and gets stuck in its stomach. So there is no way out. At least fish, they are caught in their mouth. That's the difference given. That's the analogy given for the people who are caught in the gross self and for the people who are caught in the formless. If you get caught in the formless, if you identify with yourself with this formless self, then you are really caught. There's no way out. So the meditators, we have to advise them, don't get attached to the formless. Let the breath appears, disturbing this formless. Let the sounds, thoughts appear, disturbing this formless. When they appear, see whether there is an irritation in your mind. Now you are moving from the formless into the mind made. See whether there is irritation in your mind, disliking in your mind. Again, the breath disappears, you are moved into the formless. See whether there is a liking in your mind. That's where liking and disliking is your hook, where you are caught. Right? So make sure that you allow this process to continue. Don't try to stay there forever. Don't try to be with the formless forever. Still you are caught. You have to make sure that you are not attached to either of these situations, either of these experiences, formless or the mind-made. And you are not even attached to the gross self. That's where most of the worldly are caught. The physical body, that's where they are caught. They are attached to the gross self. They appreciate the physical body. A young woman, they are appreciative of their body. They want to maintain it. They want to, you know, beautify it. And even when we are attached to the other people, we are attached towards their body. We say they are beautiful. We say they are sexy. Right? So this is the gross attachment. Gross attachment. Right? So the meditator, usually the worldly people, they are attached to the gross self. The meditators, they usually attach to the formless. But what we are suggesting is that don't get attached to either of these forms. Let it be gross self, let it be perceived or mind-made, let it be formless. Just allow them to come and go naturally while you being the observer. If you are caught in the formless, still you are caught. If you are caught in the perceived or the mind-made, still you are caught. If you are caught in the gross self, still you are caught. So you have to make sure you are not caught in these situations, these different experiences. The liking and disliking will show you how much you are caught. When you move from the mind-made to the formless, see whether there is liking. When you move from the formless to the mind-made, see whether there is liking. That's your hook. That's your hook, right? So continue this observation. When you continue with the observation, you realize the hook is becoming smaller and smaller, right? You move to the mind-made, you move to the formless, you move to the gross self. You don't have this liking or disliking. That's why we encourage you to, you know, go out to the world, go to work and see what happens there. Go to the market and what happens there. If you are hating this gross self, if you are hating your daily life, still you are caught. Still you are caught. Right? The meditator, they are comfortable. Either they are in the formless, either they are in the mind-made, either they are in the gross self. They are comfortable anywhere, everywhere. That's the true practice. That's why the meditators, If you are a good meditator, you go out to the world. You don't hate your job. You don't think about, you know, going to a jungle and staying there as a monk or something. Instead, you know that this is how it is. You go out to the world, you struggle with it, still you are comfortable there. You come to yourself, your body, the mind made, still you are comfortable there. You go to the formless, still you are comfortable there. So this is how not to get caught in these situations. Different situations might be there, but if you get caught in one, you are still caught. Let it be formless, let it be gross, right? So that's the true practice. That's why we encourage you to, you know, go out to the world. Go to work like meditation. Talk to other people like meditation. Do your daily things like meditation. See whether you are caught there. If you have hatred towards your daily life, still you are caught. Then come to the breath. Pay attention to the breath. Right? When the breath disappears, usually you don't like that change. You are caught to the breath. You want to keep your attention with the breath. You don't like the thoughts. You don't like the sounds. If you have that liking, still you are caught there. Then when the practice matures, go into the formless. If you don't like the disturbances towards the formless, if you don't like when the breath appears, if you don't like the when the sounds, thoughts appears, then you are caught there in the formless. So see this liking, disliking. That is the very practice. Either being, you know, gross self, being your mind made, being your formless. See whether this liking, disliking is there. The meditator, the true practitioner, they are comfortable either in the gross self, either in the mind made, either in the formless. They are comfortable. That very comfortability, that very peace is what we are after. Thank you for sharing. And this report very much reflects today's talk.
Thank you for that guidance, Pante. That's the end of reports, and it's time for questions now. We already have one raised hand. Panchini, would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Avasarai, Bhante. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Bhante, these days, there's also a little bit of a play going on in my home as well. But then there is the internal play, like Sonali said, sometimes the internal play does get the prominence. But most of the time, the internal side is peaceful. But there is no friction going on to work, coming home. But I know when the strong emotions come to surface, because of the attachment, obviously, that I've built up over 30 years or so, when they come into surface, I do go into the formless to find my peace. So it's helpful at the moment because of the strong emotions. But like you said, I am noticing that I still have the attachment to the formless. But the reason I do it is to sort of escape the strong emotions that I'm getting because of the outside play that's going on. That makes sense.
Okay, yes. So that's why this is called a path, right? We are not approaching the end right away. But instead, we are fighting, we are struggling in this path. We are trying to move ahead. We are moving forward, right? So that very experience, that very journey is our practice. So you find your own tricks. You find your own ways to fight it. If you are too uncomfortable in the gross self, it's okay to, you know, go into the formless and have some quiet time. But again, remember, you have to come back to the gross self. Again, you are returned back to your daily life. Yes, so that way, you have certain tricks, you have certain ways. That's totally fine. You have to face these situations. Meditating time is me time, we say. Me time, right? So instead of daily struggles, you have some me time. That me time is very much valuable, right? Don't think less of it. You can find some comfort there. You can get rid of these problems for a while. That me time is very much valuable. That me time you should have. Then again, you go back to the work. You go back to the struggles. Again, you feel the friction. But again, you go back to the comfortable meditation. So this very practice is our journey. This very practice is our struggle, right? So that struggle is okay. That is what we have to do. When you go to work, you do deal with your daily matters. And you have your own quiet time, me time, just to make sure that you are comfortable, just to make sure that you are peaceful. That very practice is what is needed. So continue this way. Challenge is to continue at least like 10 years. Can you continue? So the attachments are 30 years old, right? So don't try to find solutions right away. And such advice is that just continue for 10 years. Same struggle. Be in the same struggle for 10 years, right? Buddha says 7 years. 7 years. That's the limit he has given. But it's okay to continue. Even after becoming Buddha, he meditated. Remember that story? He meditated even after becoming a Buddha. People come and ask him, why are you meditating? You are the Buddha. I'm meditating just to be at peace. Just to show the path to other people. If I don't meditate, the disciples, they'll say, Buddha is not meditating, so why should I meditate? Right? So even the Buddha meditated. So you don't have to worry about meditation. Just, you know, continue this same process. If you continue for 10 years, I'm sure you'll be much happier in the same struggle. Not in some alien world, but in the same struggle.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that question. Thank you, Bhante. Anyone else with any questions? I will give you another minute or so. We're running perfectly on time today, so we can... Okay, there's another hand raised. Would you like to unmute and ask your question?
Thank you, Sonali. Bhante, can I just clarify? Because I've got a bit confused. The formless and the gap. So when you're sitting in your sitting meditation, when you're focusing on the breath, so I can see like when the breath disappears, then you lost contact with all your six senses. That is that form, you're in a state of formless situation, but that's when you have a focusing your mind on an object during sitting meditation. And but then when you're in a daily living, you are always with your six senses, so I presume it's difficult to be in a formless situation. Because you're always constantly in the present moment, with contact with the six senses, and then there's no the peace. Well, that will be the peace because you're focusing on everything, but there won't be any gap, I presume, or because the gap of not thinking, mental proliferation. And where the formless, there will be the formless during daily, daily activity. Does that make sense, Bhante? Just to clarify, please.
Yes, I can feel the confusion, right? So that confusion is important. You get confused when you listen to these things, right? So how to get rid of that confusion? Just continue with your meditation. And when you continue, this confusion will go away. So initially, maybe the idea is to, you know, get you confused. That's an important point in the practice, you know, get you confused. Trigger your interest. Trigger your motivation. and tell you that you can experience this for yourself. Not like by analyzing the words, not in the thinking mind, but in meditation. So the meditation is the way to get rid of this confusion, right? So when you meditate, you just have to be mindful. That's all you have to do, right? You don't have to think about the mind made or the formless, right? Instead, just be mindful of the present moment. That mindfulness will change to gross self. When you function, that mindfulness will change to mind made at times. That mindfulness will change to formless at times, right? Even while doing these gross activities, daily activities, right? The mind made is still there in the background. The formless is further behind the background, right? So you can't say the gross is only there when you do your daily activities. Every now and then the mind goes to the form, the mind made, or the perceived, the mind goes to the formless. It is always moving into different types, right? It is always moving in between these things, rotating in between these things. But we are not noticing because we are not attentive. That's the issue, right? So gross self, we identify. The worldly people, they are usually identified with the gross self. The meditators, they are usually identified with the formless. Newcomers of the meditation, they are usually identified with the mind made. Right? So what we need is try to get rid of that identification. The worldly, they are caught in that gross body. The meditators, they are caught in the formless. Instead, we try to get rid of this identification. In order to do that, you just have to do the observation. When you do the observation, you realize even sweeping your home, sometimes your attention is with the gross self, sometimes it's with the mind made, sometimes it's with the formless. Again and again, the attention is moving in between these things. But usually the worldly identifies themselves in the gross. Usually the meditators, they identify themselves in the formless. That's why Panchani is saying, I went to that emptiness. I want to be there for a long time. Right? So you are identified with it. Still you are caught. You might say that there's nothing to get caught, but still you are caught. Formless is a self. That formless, if you are caught there. Right? The idea. Continue this observation, don't get caught. That's why I like that report. That person was saying, I am sick and tired of this. The main play and the play in the darkness. Both I am sick and tired. So that's what happens to your mind when you meditate. You are sick and tired of the gross. You are sick and tired of the mind made. You are sick and tired of the formless. That is where the true peace lies. So in order to get rid of your confusion, meditate. That's all I have to say.
Bante. Yes.
Meditation is the way.
Bante. Just quickly, when you say formless, Bante, that means formless means you're not aware of your senses. It's just the consciousness, isn't it?
Meditate and find out.
Okay. All right. Okay, Bante. I'll meditate and then I'll let you know. Thank you, Bante. Sadhu.
Explanations will tell you this story. That's the issue. So you have to go and explain yourself.
Thank you, Bante. Sadhu.
Thank you for those questions. If anyone else has questions, I think we're coming to the end. We have just gone over the time. I will now hand back to Dharmantha to end the session.
Thank you, and much merit, Sonali, and also Many thanks to all those who send the reports and raise verbal questions, and much thanks to Bhante for answering and guiding through the Q&A session. Now we have come to the end of the session, and I would like to associate the merits gained on today's session to Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhammakusala Thero for joining us and providing us with much valued insight and guidance on mindfulness. And I would also like to associate merits with the most Bhante Udayirigam Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisarana Forest Monastery. And we wish all these Bhantes much progress and long health, and also the fulfillment of objectives via these positive merits and their power gained here thus far. I would also like to associate all the merits with the wonderful team of organizers who are behind this program. May their well-being and also their progress in mindfulness be felt very well through the impact of these merits. I would also like to share all the merits with all of you who are joining through the Zoom program, and also to all those who are joining through the Facebook live stream. And we would like to see you joining in the future sessions as well. And I would like to wish you all a happy and mindful week ahead. So the program will be conducted at the same time next week as well. So I hope you can join. So I will end the Zoom session now.